Blood and Barrels discuss cases that contain graphic content.
And Mike has a potty mouth.
So does Amy.
Nah.
Listener discretion is advised. What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Blood and Barrels. I'm Mike.
I'm Amy.
And we've been trying to get the house clean all weekend. It sucks. It's not fun. I don't like it.
It's really not fun, but we've also been really trying to do a lot for you guys this weekend, too.
True. We've been, it would be like clean, record.
So I think this is the third one we've recorded, and we're hoping to get at least one more in there before the weekend's over.
Is this only the third?
Yeah, it's only the third.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I think we're going to get one more Patreon recorded.
Yeah, we did the second part of yours Friday. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I feel like that counts, even though it's already live. Yeah.
So this is our fourth one recorded this weekend.
So we're trying to go hard.
Yeah, so we've got two more regular ones after this one ready to go. We got a whole bunch of Patreon ready to go. So we're just trying to knock them out.
Yep. Get ahead of the game.
Yeah.
And so that way we can keep on a little bit better schedule.
So. Yeah. So maybe you'll get your episode, Tuesday morning instead of
5 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like people in California are like, it's only like one or two and we get it. Yeah. People on the East Coast are like, man, I'm already
just
home.
Sat down for dinner.
Yeah, they're like, I'm not listening to you on Tuesdays. I just, fuck it, I listen on Wednesdays.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly.
So, anyway, where are we going this week, boo?
We are going to another new state.
I love it. Which state are we going to this
time?
We're
going to Arkansas.
We are
going to Bella Vista, Arkansas, and we are trying beer from Natural State Brewery, which is actually in Rogers, but it's not far from Bella Vista.
Is Arkansas considered the natural state? Or is that just the... Okay, so...
Yes, it is considered the natural state. They're kind of located up closer to the Ozarks, and we have a couple different beers to try.
Oh, yeah, that area is real pretty.
Yes, it's very pretty, but that's part of how Arkansas gets his name,
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're going.
Cool.
New state.
Yes. And I am trying to get woken up. If I sound blah today, I apologize. I didn't have my coffee. Like, you got your Monster. I did not get any coffee. So I'm trying to wake up. I'm trying to get my my energy levels up.
Well, and we haven't had anything to drink yet, too. That's probably the difference.
Well, that probably have something to do with it, too. Yeah. Well, then let's get into it. Let's start with the Pilsner.
Okay, so the description on their website says light-bodied, gold-colored, bitter German beer with excellent head retention and elegant floral hop aroma, crisp, clean, and refreshing, showcasing the finest quality ingredients. 5.5% ABV.
Nice. You know, I'm going to go off on a side note for a second because we've been watching Bar Rescue so much lately. When I was younger, it used to piss me off when it had head because I felt like they were gypping me and giving me less beer in my glass. I was like, wait, I don't want all that foam. But I've learned so much about like how the aromatics and things like that come out of it and how you're supposed to have a good head. And actually, a lot of times if you pour it and there is no head, it probably means the glass is dirty.
Or the beer is bad.
Or the beer is bad or not served cold enough. So now I'm like looking for the head. I'm like, where's the head? So, all right, cool. Let's pop it open.
All righty. Ooh, yours was a little fizzy there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
We got the can clinks today.
Clinky clink. Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I do too. This is probably more of like a traditional Pilsner. You know, it's funny when I hear Pilsner, I always think of like Bud Light.
Yeah.
And even with some of these breweries, like, you'll get a very, like, mild mm-hmm. Bud Light. I mean, it's usually like a step up, but it's super, super light. This actually has a really good flavor to it. So I like that a lot.
I do too. It's very good. What would you give it on the Untappd?
I would give it a 4.75.
All right.
Yeah, because that's probably one of the better Pilsners I've ever had. Like I said, usually they're just so light. This one actually has a nice flavor to it.
Oh, wow. It unlocked me numerous badges.
Yeah, it did.
Cheers to Independent Craft Breweries Level 33, Middle of the Road Level 29, Beer of the World Level 7, and Land of the Free Level 52.
Nice. Getting those badges.
That's right. You know how I love to get the badges.
Yeah, you do.
All right. So you ready for this case?
I am ready.
You know,
having had some coffee beforehand would have probably helped, but
you do know how to work the coffee pot yourself.
But you do it so much better than I do.
You know what I do? I don't measure.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. It's so difference. Funny that you don't measure and your coffee tastes better. Mine, I don't know. Mine's just not as good as yours. I don't know why. Oh, you know what, though? I always forget that our coffee maker has a little side. We have mm-hmm. one of the ones that makes the pot or it makes the individual cup. I always forget because I'll make myself the individual cup.
But is it as good as my big pot of coffee?
Yeah, I usually actually do pretty good with the individual cup. Okay, so you yeah, need to do I can do that. I can do that. Okay, fair enough. I just have to remember it. So next time I'm like, hey, make me some coffee. And you're like, nah.
I thought you were joking because you and Floon were having a conversation about coffee. So I didn't think you were actually asking me.
No, yeah, I was half joking because, like, yes, I would have loved some coffee, but I'm a big boy. If I really want coffee, I can go get it myself. Like, I don't expect you to make me coffee, but.
Hey, you know what I just realized?
You really do make it better than me that your pants are on inside out.
They sure are. My pants sure are inside
yeah.
out.
Yeah. Big old seam hanging out there.
All right.
We're just all not in the right place today. She's got her pants on inside yes. out. I haven't had my coffee. I mean, we're going to see how this goes. I don't know.
At least I have pants on.
That is always a good thing for... We're just going to go with that.
Okay. So today we are going to be talking about the murder of Dana Stidham. So Dana was last seen on July 25th, 1989. She was 18 years old. And she would have been 51 in March of this year. Benton County has multiple cold cases that they're trying to solve, but Dana's is the one that they're asked about most frequently.
When you say asked about, like, is that the public or?
Yeah, like people want to know what happened. Her disappearance.
So this one's more high profile.
Yes, correct. So Dana had just graduated from Gravette High School, located in Gravette, which is about 20 minutes from Rogers as well. So all locations are kind of close to where our brewery is.
Okay.
She was leaving a grocery store in Bella Vista. She was described as looking forward to her future. She had a good job. She had lots of friends. She worked at the local food produce store, which they kind of like described as a 1980s version of Whole Foods or whatever, you know, so it wasn't just like a regular grocery store from what I gathered.
It was that more like kind of fresh, organic kind of.
Yeah, that's kind of the impression I got.
Before it was a popular thing.
Right. Yeah. Dana's mother's name was Georgia, and she actually did an interview with Dateline, and she told Dateline that Dana was possibly going to pursue a business degree when she went to college. Georgia also went on to describe Dana as kind of the pride and joy of the family. She was always happy, and she was the one who was always smiling. The summer before her senior year, Dana lived some of the time with a cousin, and the rest of the time with her brother, Larry, in Centerton, Arkansas.
That's interesting. I wonder why she lived with family instead of with her mom.
With her parents. I think she was just getting older and she hadn't graduated yet, but she was 18.
She was starting to branch out yeah. a little bit. Okay, that makes sense.
I didn't see anything about any sort of family drama between her and the parents or anything like that. I think it was just, I'm getting older. I want
a little bit of freedom. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
And even though she didn't live at home, Dana's parents only lived about 10 minutes away from Centerton, where she was living at the time she died. So she lived very close to her parents.
They were easily accessible if she needed them. Yeah. Okay.
And if I remember correctly, she talked to them pretty frequently. She, you know, they had a really good relationship. In fact, I think I get into this later, but she actually would go to their house to do her laundry. I guess the apartment she lived in didn't have a laundromat.
Okay.
So they were still...
Well, and I guess if she's 18, like, she can, even though she's still in high school, if she's 18, she can move out.
Right. You know, she's an adult. And so, you know, and I think her parents felt that she was responsible enough to be out there living on her own or ish. I mean, she was living with her brother and a cousin. So it's not like she was.
Well, and that's the other thing is, like, I think as a parent, like, if you know that your kid's responsible, A, and then they're going off to live with people you know.
Exactly.
And you probably trust, then it makes it a lot easier.
Exactly. So Georgia, Dana's mother, also went on to tell Dateline that Dana was really close to her cousin Christy, and this was the cousin that she lived with part of the time. They were only a year apart, so they had a lot in common. So, of course, Christy was somebody that was interviewed about Dana as well. And she describes her relationship with Dana as the two girls were inseparable, other than the day she was living with her brother, I guess. but Christy says that Dana was sweet and genuinely loved.
I mean, it sounds like everybody who knew her had a really good, really high opinion of her. And
yeah.
So, yeah.
On the day that she disappeared, Dana had gone to her mother's house to do some laundry. Her mom was at work, but her dad, Lawrence, was home. I guess her dad had some sort of known medical issues. There wasn't a lot of detail about what those issues were, but he was home that day because he wasn't feeling well. And he asked Dana if she would go to the pharmacy to pick up his medicine for him. And of course, she agreed to go do this for her dad. Pharmacy was only about 4 miles from her parents' house. She left around 3 p.m. Her mother got home from work either an hour or 2 hours later. There was some discrepancy on that. But Lawrence told his wife that Dana had not yet returned from picking up the prescription. Not only was that odd because the pharmacy is only 4 miles from their house.
Yeah, it's real close.
Yeah. It was also known that Dana knew exactly how important her father's prescription was and that absolutely nothing would have stopped her from getting those medications to him. Like, she knew they were important.
Yeah, I mean, like, in this situation, it makes sense that to be a little worried that she hadn't come back. Like, I know if Matt's like, I'm going to go to the gym and work out, and then we don't see him for 3-4 hours, I'm like, where the hell did he go? You know, like
usually he's playing basketball at the gym.
Well, yeah, right. And I'm like, well, who stays at the gym for 4 hours?
Matt.
Or he goes out to eat afterwards.
Yeah, he does that too.
Text. So, you know, but again, like,
after about 4 hours, I'll text him and be like, are you okay?
Are you coming back home? Yeah, no.
But yeah, so due to how close the pharmacy was to the house and how long Dana had been gone, Lawrence and Georgia decided to go look for her. They couldn't find her car anywhere. So it was actually Dana's brother who reported her missing. She was living with him at the time of her disappearance. So it's not that odd.
So wait, so did the parents call him and he became concerned and reported her missing, or did he report her missing?
Because
so she was living with her brother, but she wasn't there. She was at
her parents'
house.
So I don't know exactly the time frame of that. I know her parents went to go look for her. When they couldn't find her car, they called family and friends, like, trying to locate her to see if maybe she had gone over there. So I would assume that they called him to see if she'd come back home.
And he got concerned, yeah.
And everybody who knew Dana said that not hearing from her was completely out of character. Like, almost every family member described her as responsible, like I said earlier. And they were all insistent that Dana wouldn't have left her dad waiting for this medicine. So family immediately assumed that something had happened to her. At 9:15 the same night, a be on the lookout was issued. The local police department was doing what they could to find Dana. But at 6:30 a.m. the next morning, Dana's car was found on the side of the highway, but Dana was not. The keys to the car were still in the ignition. One of the rear tires was said to be either flat or losing air. Okay. Again, discrepancy in the reports. Some said that it was still drivable, but obviously losing air. Some said it was flat. So that played into some theories later on. The tire did. Dana's wallet was found in the car, and they also found a receipt for the pharmacy where Dana had gone to pick up her dad's medicine. The receipt was time-stamped 3:17 the day before. So remember, she left her house at 3, so she'd already checked out and was back in the car by 3:20 because the receipt had the 3:17 date on it.
Well, and like if she had gotten a flat, for instance, and decided she needed to walk, you know, down to the next exit and, you know, get a payphone or whatever, like she would have still taken her wallet with her. So the fact that the wallet's in the car is obviously strange. Was her dad's medication in the receipt was there? Was the medication in the car?
You know, that's a really good question. None of the articles that I saw said whether they were or not.
Interesting.
But that's a very good question. What they did say was that the driver's side window was suspiciously rolled like halfway down and that the driver's seat had been moved to accommodate somebody much taller than Dana.
Gotcha.
They also had multiple witnesses at the pharmacy that confirmed that Dana had arrived to pick up the medicine for her father and they had seen her leave the pharmacy as well. Despite the keys being in the ignition and the flat tire, there was no obvious sign of a struggle in the car, which makes it even a little weirder.
Yeah.
And this is just me talking. It makes you think that, like, whoever was driving the car, maybe she knew.
I was just thinking that, yeah.
Now, Dana's family insisted that she would have never left the keys in her vehicle. She would have rolled the windows up, and at the very least would have locked the doors of her car. A local Bella Vista police officer did come forward later and say that she had seen Dana's car and a pickup truck behind it right before Dana's disappearance. And she believes that she may have seen a person behind the car, perhaps deflating the tire or trying to help her, you know, either way. The police officer didn't say anything at the time because she didn't know that.
She probably just thought another motorist had pulled over to help somebody who had gotten a flat.
Right. And it wasn't until Dana went missing that she realized that's the vehicle that she saw and that the person could have been possibly deflating the tire rather than helping her.
Did she at least like remember the color of the truck? I mean, pickup truck's a place to start. Did she remember the color or anything?
I'm sure she did. They didn't go into any of that in the articles I read. They did say that once she realized that the car she saw was Dana's, she did immediately go to her superiors and let them know. They went back to where she saw Dana's vehicle, but of course the truck isn't there anymore.
For sure.
But they have to do what they have to do, right?
Yeah, they got to do their due diligence, make sure.
And they did. I said already, it was determined that she did pick up her prescription, but she also picked up some other household items. I think it was like dishwashing detergent or small things. She was seen talking to an older man outside of the pharmacy, but that's the last anybody saw her alive. Now, this is where we get discrepancy. One article said they found her license in there, but another article said... Or I'm sorry, one article said her wallet was discovered in the car. Another article said that none of her belongings were in the car. I tend to believe the wallet was in the car because her parents were so adamant that she wouldn't have left without that stuff.
Yeah, right.
You know? when her car was found, of course, Dana's family, especially Christy, the cousin that was inseparable, became afraid of what might have happened to Dana, who seemingly had no enemies whatsoever. They immediately began to search for Dana. They put up missing persons flyers in any attempt to try and locate her. The family even went so far as to drive to neighboring states just to see if they could find some link Yeah. Like, they kind of put on their own search. You know what I mean?
So I'm assuming this is before the police have really gotten involved, or like,
are I think still, same time.
So they're kind of doing it.
Yeah, I think same time. Now, search dogs were used and people on search horses were used trying to find Dana. They didn't really find any evidence. They did later find some of her belongings, but none of them were found near where her car was discovered. So it was almost like whatever they found was like thrown out the window, basically. Yeah. Some clothing was found at Ealing Circle, which is an area of Arkansas. This was not very far from where Dana's car was found. So they find some personal items in one place. They find some clothes in another place. A little bit further, they find some of Dana's like checks, like she had maybe gone to pick up a check to cash. They also find some of her photos and her driver's license.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So wait, this was stuff that was scattered like along the road or
yeah,
whatever?
Yeah, but way further north from where her car and everything was found.
Well, then maybe her wallet wasn't in the car. Yeah, if maybe. They're finding it on the side of the road.
So like I said, because this was 1989, I think there was a lot of uncertainty and there may have been some things over the years that have, you know, gotten crisscrossed or whatever.
Yeah.
But what we do know for sure is that her belongings were scattered all over the place.
Okay.
At the time, a $5,000 reward was offered in hopes that she would be found. Back in the 80s, that was a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But nothing came of the reward. So, are you ready to try this next beer?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, tell me which one it is we're trying.
So, we're going to be trying the Natural State Beer Company Greenway Light Lager.
And their website says, this is a lighter version of our Hills with fewer calories, less alcohol, and gluten reduced. A truly approachable craft beer for most palates. And it's 3.6.
That's really low.
It is.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Let's give it a try.
Man, yours was fizzy again.
Fizzy.
Oh, well, so was mine.
Yeah, look at that. Got some head on it.
All right. Cheers, boo.
Cheers. That is super, super light.
It really is. It's very good. I think I like the other one better, personally.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to go for a bolder flavor. Mm-hmm. To me, this is light. So, like, for people who like a Bud Light, Miller Light, like this would be something much closer to what they would want to drink.
Yeah, I mean, it's very good. I don't know that... No, I'm... Never mind. It's... Well, I was trying to understand what... gluten reduced would do, because most people who have to be gluten free want to see gluten free. So
yeah, right. And there are gluten free beers out there.
There are. So I was just wondering if maybe it's for those people that are doing the gluten because they want to lose weight. So maybe it's, hey, this is a gluten reduced beer, like they're trying to reach.
Yeah, that could be.
And I think it's cool to try to reach other people, you know?
Absolutely. The one thing I will say is, you know, at 3.6%, I would probably just drink twice as much. So I don't know that it would matter or help me lose weight if that were the case. You know what I mean?
I mean, there is that. So. But it's pretty good. I like it. I liked both of their beers. What would you give it?
I would give this one a 3.5 or 4.5. Sorry.
I was about to say, well, then I'm going to give it a 4.
No, sorry. 4.5. Sorry.
Okay.
That came out wrong. Sorry. Like I said, I haven't had my coffee today, so it's not my fault. I mean, I guess I could have like we said earlier, brewed myself some damn coffee.
Or drink the other monster that's in the fridge.
That I didn't know there was one in the fridge.
Told you there was earlier.
Well, you know I don't be listening to you.
Yeah, I think everybody that listens to our podcast knows that. Because I think you say that at least every other episode. Probably, yeah.
I try, you know. My brain doesn't focus well, you know.
Okay, so I'm going to go back to Dana because she's nicer than you.
Probably, yeah.
So police offered to keep anyone anonymous who was able to come forward with information about Dana, whether she was dead or alive. At this point, police just wanted answers about what happened. They haven't found a body, but they found her clothes. They found her belongings. They found her car. But where the hell is Dana?
Yeah, right.
Not surprisingly, there were many supposed sightings of Dana.
Tipsters.
But none of them proved to be Dana.
I mean, if you're calling in a tip because you really, truly believe it, that's one thing. But I'll never understand those people who just, like, call in tips just because.
Because they want to be famous.
But if it doesn't pan out, you're not going to be famous. So what's the point?
But sometimes you are, depending on what your tip is. Because they're, like, if it's a really good tip and they follow it for so long.
I don't know. You're famously an asshole. That's what I
say. Well, then you become famously an asshole when it's fake, but you still got your 15 minutes of fame.
I guess. That's weird.
Well, not everybody is you, boo.
Well, alrighty then.
You know I love you. So glad that not everybody is you.
True. The world would be a fucked up place. Don't spit your beer out.
So Dana's body was not discovered until June 16th of 1989. So it was about 2 months after she disappeared. A squirrel hunter found her.
A squirrel hunter.
Arkansas.
Only in Arkansas.
What?
I know. People hunt squirrels elsewhere. I know. I'm talking shit. Go ahead.
She was discovered in a shallow grave. The hunter who found her was only 21 years old himself. So he's just a few years older than Dana. Yeah. So can you imagine, like, trying to hunt a squirrel and finding a dead girl instead?
I mean, that would suck.
Yeah.
And he probably didn't get his squirrel because of all this either.
I mean, true. Although at this point, I don't think his squirrel is what's important.
No, I 100% totally agree. You just said it sucked, and I was just going off of that.
So, the area was heavily wooded, but the remains that they found were confirmed to be Dana's. Her body was actually discovered very close to the Arkansas-Missouri border.
Do we know about how far that is from where... She disappeared, or?
I don't know the exact mileage, but I would imagine it's not terribly far, maybe an hour or so, because Rogers, Arkansas, is considered part of the Ozarks, and so is Missouri.
That sounds right, because we just recently drove from Joplin down towards that area, and I think it was only an hour or two.
Yeah, so yeah. It, not far, but further than the other locations we've been talking about.
Yeah, and it is, like, real super hilly in that area.
And it's beautiful. It's a completely beautiful area.
But there was like the exits were like a gas station and a bunch of trees.
Yeah. That was about it. That's true. When investigators went to the body, they believed that weather as well as animal activity had actually led to a much sooner discovery.
Oh, like they'd kind of, she'd been dug up a little bit.
Yeah. And weather had... maybe eroded the...
some of the soil, yeah.
Yeah, so without that, they may not have found her as soon. When Dana's remains were found, it was mostly bone. Like, she was almost described as a skeleton.
Oh, wow. And it was only, like, 2 months later?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And they said it was pretty much her entire skeletal remains.
Oh, okay. Then there were definitely some animals and critters and things like that, yeah.
Now, they did say because of where her body was found that Dana's killer was likely very familiar with the area in which her body was disposed.
It's not some place that just any old random asshole would wind up in.
Right, right. Some more of Dana's clothing were found not that far away from the shallow grave, and duct tape was found on her shirt. So... The evidence made investigators believe that Dana may have been tied up or bound shortly before her death. When her clothing was discovered, balling twine was also found. Do you know what balling twine is?
I've heard of it.
Oh, well, you're a better person than me. I had to look it up. I'd never heard of it.
It's actually, I think, baling twine, isn't it?
That makes way more sense, yes. Baling twine or baller twine.
Yeah.
Or baler twine.
Yeah, so it comes in a, I think it comes in a ball, but it is called baling twine, I believe.
So it's a small diameter of synthetic twine used to bind a quantity of fibrous materials like hay or straw. And it's used to make them more compact. So it's like how you bind your...
Hence baling, because yeah. Like a bale of hay.
Yes. Yeah. Traditional baler twine is naturally biodegradable. So they were kind of lucky to find it when they did.
Yeah. Well, but it had only been... If it had gone much longer, they may not have,
Right, which is why I say they were lucky to find it when they did. If it's naturally biodegradable.
Yeah.
Upon the discovery of Dana, her death was ruled a homicide, which is not surprising, but they were unable to determine what her cause of death was.
So there were no, like, marks on the bone or breaks or fractures or anything like that, okay?
Well, they believe that because of the weather and the animal activity, a lot of the evidence was probably compromised.
I absolutely believe that. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, had she been... smashed over the head with a hammer, she'd have like a skull fracture right. Or something. So, and even like if you're stabbed, sometimes the knife will nick the bone. But if there's none of that, then yeah, you have no idea.
Okay, so I have to make fun of myself for a minute here. My next sentence says, this was not only because of weather, as mentioned earlier, but also because of weather.
Yes. Best sentence ever.
So obviously, they think weather had a lot to do
with lots of weather. Few critters and weather.
But due to the conditions of her bones, it's funny that you bring up stabbing. There is speculation that she may have been stabbed, but there's no like concrete evidence to confirm that.
Well, and I brought stabbing up because my thought is, like I said, with some of the other things, you're gonna for sure find some form of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
With stabbing, it's highly likely that you're not going to, especially if it's in the, in some of the organs, if you're just hitting organs. So it's really sad. I'm gonna be honest, because I can't imagine finding out that my child was found in the woods 2 months after disappearing, just as a fucking skeleton. Like that's
crazy, right?
It's crazy. Yeah, that's pretty messed up, actually.
Wait till you get to our next Greeley case.
Yeah.
Law enforcement did pretty much determine after they found Dana's body that this was a classic abduction. She had been abducted. She had been killed. But to this day, they have not made any arrests in her murder. So it's still
unsolved.
Unsolved.
Man.
The Stidhams were, however, lucky. We've talked in the past about a lot of cases where the police didn't keep the family involved. And, like, the family had to pursue the police, basically, to find out what was going on. In this case, the police did everything they could to keep Dana's family involved.
Good for them.
Yeah, so they kept him up to date. They, they did everything they could. And they really, really wanted to find Dana. And Dana's mother was quoted as saying, "We don't want revenge. We just want Dana."
Well, they want their daughter back, but also ultimately they want probably some answers.
I think that's true. And
just some closure, really.
Yeah. And they have had multiple people of interest in the case, but nobody that's really panned out. And even though this happened in 1989, over the years, the police have done everything they felt like they could do to try to bring Dana's murderer to justice. They even questioned a schoolmate of Dana's. He actually thought he might have killed her.
Oh.
Because he didn't remember that he didn't.
But, okay.
Right?
All right.
So the man was ordered to give a hair sample, and he actually complied. And he was quoted as saying, "Sometimes I think I killed Dana, but I know I didn't." This same man was arrested later for stealing the marker from Dana's grave.
Sounds like maybe she had a stalker in this dude.
Yeah, and I think obviously they did hair samples and DNA samples or whatever, and he's still out there, so I think they determined that it wasn't him.
Well, but I imagine they didn't have any DNA to compare it to. I mean, if anything, it sounds like they just got his DNA on file, because with the wet... Well, unless they found something on the clothing.
I'm thinking they found something on the clothing, but regardless, he was determined not to be the one responsible.
Okay.
But it's all a little weird, right? He's like, "Sometimes I think I killed her, but I know I didn't."
Yeah, that's super strange. I mean, why would you just go around saying some shit like that?
And then he steals her grave marker. Like, it's all a little.
But again, he could just be a little off.
He could be one of those ones trying to get their 15 minutes of fame.
That, yep. Mm-hmm.
So sadly, Dana's father actually passed away only 10 years after she did. So he died in 1999. And by 2018, Georgia, Dana's mother, had outlived Dana, her husband, and her other child.
Oh, man. I feel bad for that lady.
I know, me too. But despite her bad luck, Dana's mother, in her most recent interview, said she was still hopeful that Dana's murderer would be caught and brought to justice. In 1998, police did announce that they thought they knew who Dana's killer was, but they didn't have enough evidence for arrest.
Oh, that's interesting.
And they kind of left it at that. But years later, in 2013, there was a new suspect. His name was Orville Goodwin. He became a suspect when he was arrested for the attempted murder of another woman. In 2013, Dana's case was reopened because of it. Police still to this day have not been able to deny or confirm if Goodwin was involved in Dana's case. So basically, they could not 100% say he was a positive match, but they also couldn't rule him out either.
Man.
Yeah, so obviously they had DNA, but again, probably compromised due to weather and animals. And so there's some question about whether he's the one that did it or not.
Yeah, I hope they can catch our killer one day, but it sounds like it's going to be one of those that's incredibly, incredibly hard to do.
I think so. Now, the case is still open, and they're still asking for anybody who might know anything to reach out if you have any information surrounding
valid information, people.
Yeah, don't go searching for your 15 minutes of fame, but nope. But if you have anything that might help them, they're asking that you contact the Benton County Sheriff's Office at 479-271-1008. Or the Bella Vista Police Department at 479-855-3771. Or you can email the Bella Vista Police Department at info@Bella, that's BellaVistar.gov. So I have been saying the city name wrong this whole time. It is Bella Vista.
Okay.
Yeah. So again, that's info@bellavistaar.gov. So they're trying to still solve this case. And I wouldn't say that it's completely hopeless, because we've seen, especially real recently, we've seen a lot of really old cases finally come to an end. So
yeah,
I would encourage anybody who possibly has any valid information to reach out to them and see if you can help Georgia get some closure.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And yeah, you're right. We've seen a lot get solved. So, you know, sometimes it just takes that one little extra nudge in the case, that one little tip, and then they'll get there.
So. Well, and it could be something so small that you think is so insignificant that breaks the case wide open.
Yep. So is that it?
That's it.
All right. Well, yeah, I'd never heard that one before, but it's kind of sad, but it was good.
Got another short one for y'all.
Another short one.
And not doing it on purpose, I promise.
Well, what's funny is sometimes we have shorter cases that wind up being longer because I get drunk and talk a lot.
Yeah, you didn't do that this time.
I didn't. Well, it's earlier in the day. I didn't have my coffee, and like I swear I'm like battling an upper respiratory infection or something. So I'm less, I don't know, energetic as than I normally would be. So
argumentative?
That too. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely less argumentative.
Not even feel like doing that right now. Yeah. So, like, I don't feel terrible, but, you know.
Maybe in the next recording.
You know, like in the beginning when you can just kind of feel it and you're just like, I don't feel bad, but I just don't feel normal or great.
So, before we record our next one, guys, I'll give him a shot of tequila.
No shit.
And then maybe it'll be a little longer.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah. A lot longer. So. Well, that being said, we want to thank you guys for joining us yet again. We love you all.
Go rate, review.
Subscribe.
Join our Patreon. Buy some merch.
And share us with a friend, you guys. Help us grow this podcast. If you enjoy listening, hopefully maybe you know some other people who will enjoy listening. You know, you'll have something to talk about. So
did you hear Floon say that he thinks he got us some listeners?
No.
He apparently told his Sunday school teacher about our podcast, and she got really excited, apparently.
His Sunday school teacher is going to love that.
He goes, Mom, I think I got you some new listeners. I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, I was talking about it at church today, and I was like, oh, no.
It's like when he was in preschool. It was the pageant thing. Yeah. What is it?
It was his Christmas concert.
It was his Christmas concert, and he's going to like a church preschool
in his little suit and tie.
Yeah, and we get done, we go back to the classroom with all the other parents, and he's like, "Yeah, so my dad stole a bus."
No, airplane.
Well, there was a bus first.
Oh, I missed the bus. I
stole the bus and then drove that to the airport and stole an airplane. And then I was flying around blowing stuff up.
And you landed it in the middle of the highway.
And I landed on the highway and started shooting everybody. I was like, Floon, shut up. And I didn't even, before that, he was young. So when I played Grand Theft Auto, I didn't think anything about it. So apparently he started paying attention.
And told all of his teachers about it.
And I literally looked at him and was like, shut up. So, but yeah, so no more, we stopped. I mean, he's getting older now. He's still not old enough, but yeah, I was like, we're not playing Grand Theft Auto with Floon in the room anymore.
Well, it's so funny what they pick up on. Like, Princess, at the beginning of the pandemic, was what?
She's 5'4"?
Because she wasn't in kindergarten yet. But she went to preschool and told her little friend that her entire family had COVID. And made them all feel sorry for her.
And then everybody thought we were lepers. And yeah. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. People were calling us like, did you send your child to school and you have COVID? And we're like, we don't have COVID. She's lying. She's a liar. She's a liar face. Pants on fire.
But we love the princess.
We love all the children. Anyway, that being said, we love you guys and we will check you next time.
We love you all.
Laters. Thank you for joining us here at Blood and Barrels. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Blood and Barrels. You can also follow us on Twitter at Blood Barrels Pod.
Follow us on all the things.
You can also listen to Blood and Barrels on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or most anywhere where you enjoy your podcast.
If you enjoy listening, please head over to Apple Podcasts and rate, review, and subscribe. For more information about the show, you can check us out at bloodandbarrels.com.
If you want to help support the show and become a part of the Blood and Barrels family, you can join us on Patreon and get access to additional content. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.